You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yeah, we're rolling along, Greeny, with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Time for your calls in this hour. I got my green list coming up just moments from now, and a very important message from a very dear friend of mine. All that is on the way coming up here shortly, but I do want to start with the question of the day.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
Because I've not yet had a chance to ask the assembled members of the hashtag crew how they would vote. So every single day, let's put it this way. Now that I'm back on the radio, I'll be here every day. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing a lot of the stuff that we do. There's a lot of interaction that goes on there. I find it to be very easy to do, and it's just it's an efficient way for us to communicate. So I'm at ESPN Greeny. So just go there, get on there, follow me, and we can have these conversations. Every day I put up a poll question. Today's question of the day: if you were starting an NFL franchise tomorrow, who is your overall number one pick? The options are Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, or other. Nuno, let me start by asking you, do you think I chose the right three? I had a lot of people questioning why Joe Burrow wasn't on my list. Dominic Foxworth brought up why wasn't Lamar Jackson on my list. So do you believe I gave the correct, before I ask your vote, do you believe I gave the proper options, bearing in mind that on a Twitter poll, 4 is the maximum number of options that you can give?
I do believe that. I do think when you're having this conversation, those are the three guys, because that's, I think, how the league feels on a lot of these guys.
Ahead of Burrow. I think if, look, Burrow is terrific. I enjoy watching him. The run he had last year was the stuff of legend, and I think he has a chance to have a magnificent career. Magnificent. But if you were asking me to choose one of those players to start a franchise with, to me, clearly my first three choices, in any order you want, would be Herbert, Mahomes, and Allen. I wouldn't even consider Burrow. I wouldn't consider Lamar. I wouldn't consider anybody else. That's why I put those three guys on the list. It's not about who's the most accomplished to this point. It's about who I think projects to be the best over the next decade. And those are the options that I would put into me. I didn't even really think about it much more than that, to be completely honest. So having said that, you agree with my options. Who would your vote be, Nuno?
I waver, but I think I'm taking Mahomes still. I just think that I think Allen, I'm taking third in this whole group going forward.
Get out of here. You would put Allen third.
Going forward, yes, because and you've brought up this, it's the way he plays and the fact that he takes such a beating. Mm-hmm. I think that Mahomes is slightly above both of them, and I think Herbert, that the look, the arm, the strength, things of that nature, that he's just that prototypical quarterback that you would take that I think most teams would take second.
I like it. I like that. I like the thinking behind the selection. Bubba, cast your vote. Of those, the options I gave you, the four options, Dak is not an option. I know you're a loyal Cowboy fan. Jerry Jones doesn't have to keep receipts. No receipts on Bubba.
Right.
He follows his team. He supports them blindly through thick and thin. But I just gave you those four options: Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, or other. Who gets your vote?
Yeah, I was wavering thinking Allen, but I think I'm going to go Mahomes. I do have Herbert third, but I think you just got to stick with Mahomes, kind of with Graziano's logic too. Just what he's proven so far, I mean, he's just kind of the king. Like, until someone takes over, he's just, what he's done has been dominant. And even this year, going into the offseason, like, oh, the Chiefs, are they going to have a down year? What's going to happen? He comes out Sunday and was just dominant again. Like, he's just clearly above everyone else right now. Obviously, you can't go wrong with any of the three, but I would take Mahomes.
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, because I'm the only one who can see the results so far. There is still 43 minutes left in this voting, and right now Allen and Mahomes are just splitting the vote. Allen has 41%, Mahomes has 41%, Herbert has 12%, and other has 6%. So if you want to cast your vote, you got 40 minutes to do it at ESPN Greeny. Go ahead, Nunes.
Let me ask you a question. If Justin Herbert had either Andy Reid or Sean McDermott as head coach, do you think that would be a closer vote?
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, I think that it's not so much McDermott as it is Daboll. And I know it's only one game with the Giants, but so far, so good. I think Brian Daboll and the entire organization, let me say that again. I do not mean to sell short Sean McDermott. The buck stops with him. He's the head coach. He deserves the credit. But I think that the development of Josh Allen is just an organizational success story, second to almost none. Patrick Mahomes is like the perfect storm. He was drafted into the perfect situation, a really good team with a good quarterback that he was able to then elevate. Unbelievable weapons, unbelievable coaching, and he's got extraordinary talent and desire and everything else. I mean, first and foremost, you got to give the credit to the people themselves. Herbert, the argument for him is what he's overcome. Think about the circumstances. Does everyone remember the circumstances in which he became the starting quarterback? Tyrod Taylor was supposed to be the starting quarterback for the Chargers. He got like a numbing injection before a game that hit a spot that it wasn't supposed to hit, and he was unable to play. And like an hour before kickoff, Herbert is thrown out there, and he never gave the job back. And he's sensational. I love him. I think Herbert is phenomenal. And yes, I think he has less in the way of coaching, less in the way of organizational stability, certainly less in the way of fan base. Have you ever been to a game in Kansas City? You ever been to a game in Buffalo? You ever been to a Charger game? With no disrespect, those are road games. He's playing 16, now 17 road games a year. So your point is well taken. But the circumstances are what the circumstances are. I put him on the list because I think he belongs in the discussion. And it's an interesting vote. So you got 40 minutes or thereabouts.
By the way,
to cast. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you know how Twitter polls work.
Yeah.
But literally anyone who votes can see who what. The,
oh, when you vote, you get to see the results as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, literally. So if you don't vote, you can't see.
I see.
So that part is true.
So what you're saying is if you put up a poll and I vote on it, I get to see the results of it immediately.
As soon as you click your vote, so if I were to vote for Mahomes, you immediately see what the vote is. And then since you have since voted, you see the updates the entire time.
So what you're saying is that when I said everyone couldn't see it and I told you what the current status of the vote was, that was unnecessary.
Correct. Okay. I mean, it's good to update people because a lot of people won't know, but, you know, you're not the gatekeeper of the Twitter polls.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, look, we're all just – I hope you're not keeping receipts that I got that wrong. That's my bad. I did not – you know what? I guess in retrospect, I realized that. I just didn't think of it that way. Okay. Fair enough. So I hope that you will cast your vote, and then you will get to see where it all stands almost simultaneously, and that'll work out very nicely, and then we'll go on from there. Anyway, that's the question of the day. Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. All right, I'm going to jump around here. There's just something I want you to know.
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
So my friends at the V Foundation and some of the folks here at ESPN who work with them reached out to me and asked if I would just make brief mention of the extraordinary work that is being done over there, because we all hear about it during V Week and we all hear about it at certain select times. But it is by so far of my 20. I've been working at ESPN 26 years. There is nothing of which I'm more proud than my connection to, our connection to, and the company's work with the V Foundation, through which literally hundreds of millions of dollars have been donated directly to these geniuses, these hospitals and these universities where they do cancer research. And hopefully by now you know that every penny that you donate goes directly to that, because it is all fully vested, so none of it goes to operating expenses or anything like that. But Dick Vitale, everyone knows that Dickie V, I hope you know, that he announced he has a clean bill of health. He beat cancer, which is a miracle, and it is a miracle that is only possible because of the work of people like those at the V Foundation and people like Dickie V. I have said, and I said it when I was privileged to be an honoree at his gala one year, there's no one whose example I admire more of how to use their success and celebrity to make the world a better place. No one I admire more than Dick Vitale. No one who works more tirelessly. I want to make sure that you know they asked me to mention that when he won the Jimmy V Perseverance Award at the ESPYs, they raised $3 million as a result of that. People dedicating, donating that money to help Dick in particular in his work in raising money for pediatric cancer research. If you knew him, as I am delightfully lucky to do, you know that it burns in him. He is around these families. He knows these kids. He does everything he can for them. He does everything he can for these families. And so if you can help, and I think it's every now and again, it's worth mentioning. Because lots of people love ESPN. Some people have criticism of us. Plenty of it is fair. Over the 26 years I've been here, we've gotten a lot of things right. We've gotten some wrong. But the V Foundation is the best thing we do. Always. Every day. Not just during V Week. Not just during the times when we talk about it a lot. So if you can, go to v.org/PCAM and you can honor, you can donate in honor, directly in honor of Dick Vitale, if you choose to do so.
Greeny, the podcast.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I have a few questions about some of the stuff I saw last night. None of them as pressing as the questions about what in the world Nathaniel Hackett was doing coaching that game last night. That was just mind-boggling the way that game ended. And so I think that he and Russell Wilson emerge as maybe the single biggest losers of week one in the NFL. But who are the biggest winners? That's the subject of today's Green List.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
The Green List.
All right, guys. So it is my top five, this, that, or the other, as, again, voted on and chosen exclusively by me, the world's foremost authority on all matters. My top five winners of opening weekend.
Number five.
Five is the Vikings. And these are not all going to be teams. In fact, I think that's the only one that is a team. But the Vikings as a team were the biggest winners. And I say this not only because it is one of the few predictions I've ever gotten right, but I think the Vikings set the stage for what is going to be a really good year. Let's think about it. Every year, a team that most people don't see coming winds up being great. Last year, it was Cincinnati. They made a run all the way to the Super Bowl. There's always a surprise in there. The Vikings, I don't even think, would be that big a surprise. Now, Rex was talking yesterday glowingly on TV about the positive energy their new coach, Kevin O'Connell, brings after Mike Zimmer, who was more of a negative energy kind of coach. Again, there can be successful ones of those, i.e. Bill Belichick, the most successful coach ever. But maybe a new voice, a new direction, an offensive mind. Justin Jefferson looking like he's going to be in Cooper Kupp's offense and put up those kind of numbers. Thielen, Cook, Madison, Cousins. If the defense plays, I said it before the season, I think they're going to win the division. I really do. I know Aaron Rodgers is one of the best players of all time. But this isn't tennis. He's not Carlos Alcaraz. He's not all by himself out there. He needs help, and I don't think he's got it. So to me, the Vikings at number five, biggest winners of opening weekend.
Number four.
Number four is Mike McDonald. And I'm kind of upset with myself that I didn't do enough on this yesterday. But the Dolphins' win on Sunday was really impressive. There were a lot of eyeballs on that. You know, you're going head-to-head in your first game after all the stuff that happened there in the offseason. Your predecessor has sued the entire National Football League. The suggestion he's making is that your owner was basically bribing people to lose games. You've got to save the quarterback. You bring in the huge acquisitions, all of them, especially Tyreek Hill, but he's not the only one. And you're counted on as the offensive genius who's going to pull all this together. And, oh, by the way, you got to do it week one, face-to-face, across the field, from the most successful football coach that ever lived. And he did it. Good for Mike McDaniel. People are into it. And, by the way, Nuno, did you see the handshake between McDaniel and Belichick at the end of that game?
I did. Very nice.
Did McDaniel do something that upset Belichick? Like, was there something that I didn't see? Because if you're Bill, come on. This is the guy's first game ever. I know you're upset with the way your team played. But, I mean, give him a little, hey, good job, you know, congratulations. Give him something. Bill literally walked up there and was already looking in the other direction when he shook his hand. That handshake made the old man genie handshakes look like long hugs. That was not a great moment, I think. Unless, is there something in that story I'm missing? Is there something Bill was specifically upset at McDonald about? That's the part of this, you know, that I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wonder if Bill's feeling the... Does a guy like Bill Belichick start feeling the pressure? Because he's won so much, but now you're doing this, and you've been doing this without... you know, you've always been, quote-unquote, the smartest man in the room. And now you're doing this without Tom Brady. It's been a few years. You're trying this Joe Judge, Matt Patricia thing. It's clearly not working. Things didn't look well. You've missed out on, you haven't hit on a lot of the free agents you brought in or draft picks. Does Belichick start feeling this pressure?
I think he does. But and most of that is probably internally motivated. I'm going to make it clear. I have extraordinary respect for Bill Belichick. I think he's the greatest coach ever. Doesn't mean he doesn't make mistakes, and he's made several. Certainly in player acquisition, they've made enormous mistakes up there. I will say this. If this thing doesn't get righted quickly, the Patricia Judge experiment, that really does look bad because that is on the head coach. He's the one who decided not to replace McDaniels. But let's not get there yet because all that has yet to happen. All I'm saying is this is the young kid coaching his first ever game. Now give him a moment of congratulations on the field. You're the greatest coach of all time, and you're, you know, I think he's seven. Bill is 70 years old. Like, you got to be bigger than that, I think. So, again, I reserve the right to take all of that back if something happened that I'm not aware of. Anyway, McDonald, to me, is the fourth biggest winner of opening weekend.
Number three.
Three is Josh Allen. Allen was unbelievable Thursday night, and there's a lot of pressure on him, too. Opening game, tough spot across the country, playing the Super Bowl champs, unfurling the banner. Everyone waiting, what's he going to do for an encore, you know, after the incredible performance and the loss to Kansas City last year. No day ball. Allen played the best game of anybody in the NFL this weekend. If they needed to score 90 points, they would have. They turned the ball over a bunch. That game should have been 50-10. They were dominant, and Allen was unbelievable. We live in a short attention span kind of society, so it feels like a very long time ago. But his performance should not be forgotten. I think he is the number three biggest winner of opening weekend.
Number two.
Two is your guy, Nuno. Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll has done the opposite of Robert Saleh. He has won over the fan base immediately. How much leash did he buy himself How many bad weeks in a row could the Giants have before you will start blaming it on him? Do you know what I mean? Like, he won everybody over. Anything that happens the rest of this season, if it goes badly, and I don't think they're going to be a great team, anything that goes badly will not by the fan base be perceived as his fault. I think he is the second biggest winner of opening week. Nuno, the Giant fan, your reaction?
Yeah, I think it's like a double victory. It's they won the game, and the fact that we feel like we have a head coach and we are headed in the right direction, and that we know that we're not going to be very good because there's still a lot of – this team lacks a lot of talent, but that you're headed in the right direction. Guys want to be there. Guys want to play for you. You're not worried about – any chatter coming out of the, you know, locker rooms or things of that nature, that you're just headed in the right direction, and you will be willing and okay with if you're 5-12, 6-11, that type of thing.
Yeah, look, I mean, believe me, I heard it yesterday. I was out and about. I live right here in New York City, and I was out and about yesterday, and I get a lot of things yelled at me in the street. 99% of them are very nice. Most of them are, you tell Stephen A., and then something. Like, ever since I started doing the NBA show, I have a lot of messages for Steve. Everyone wants me to tell Stephen A. something. But yesterday, all I heard was from Giant fans everywhere I went. And everyone is wearing a Giant shirt. Yesterday, construction sites, everywhere, everything you walk past, everybody's got their Giant stuff on. Good for you. You deserve it. I'm jealous. So Brian Daboll is my number two winner of the week.
Number one.
Number one is Pete Carroll. And I will tell you right now, I put this list together yesterday before the game was played. And at the bottom, I put Pete Carroll slash Russell Wilson. The answer for number one will be whoever wins this game. Because the more you dive into that, the more you peel back the onion, that relationship was trouble. I think there was a time when it was very good. All the reporting I saw, I watched Monday Countdown, Susie and company yesterday. They're awesome. Everything I heard, I saw Russell hugging DK Metcalf. I saw Russell hugging Geno Smith. I didn't see Russell hugging Pete Carroll. That was definitely one they wanted. It won't get the attention that Brady versus Belichick got because they didn't win six Super Bowls together, but they did win one and should have won another. And they were together a long time. So to me, I think they both wanted that game more than you could ever imagine. So to me, whoever was the winner of that game was going to be my number one winner of opening weekend. So again, when I filled in my top five yesterday, I just put Wilson slash Carroll. And this morning I would delete the loser. And that is what we did. And so that is today's green list. My top five winners of the opening weekend, the Vikings, Mike McDonald, Josh Allen, Brian Daboll, and Pete Carroll. Greeny reminding you to try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Coming up, Nuno's got an interesting note I want to get to. I asked a question on Twitter yesterday. The answer is kind of stunning to me. I have a million things I haven't gotten to today. We'll catch up to everything next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio as we roll along. I got a million things in the hopper for you, but I just wanted you to hear a couple of sound bites that I really like that Nuno pulled aside for me. One of them, if you were watching the Manning cast last night, watching Peyton and Eli, you know, Peyton's got a lot. He still lives in Denver now. He's got a lot of Broncos in his blood. And he's watching the ridiculous ending of that game last night. and he was freaking out. I've got a little bit of his reaction as it was going on.
We got three timeouts, E. I might use one right here, E. Let's use one. Let's talk about this one. Let's talk about this one. I think we should call timeout, like, now.
they look unsettled. Sutton doesn't know what he's doing. Hurry up. Hurry. Timeout.
And that was when they called the timeout with 20 seconds left. And if a picture is worth 1,000 words, Peyton's got his hands on his head in disbelief. And my favorite line in that one, Bubba, is Eli saying, they look unsettled. I mean, that was such a bad night for Nathaniel Hackett, right? Because not that moment at the end of the game is what will get all the attention. But how many times did they have? They seem to have no ability to get a play called. They couldn't get the play in there to save their lives. How many times did they look discombobulated right before the snap? It's a miracle they had all three of their timeouts left with a minute left in that game, but they did, and then didn't use them in any way that made sense to me or anybody I've spoken to. So, Bubba, that was kind of a nightmare, was it not, for the Broncos and Hackett?
Yeah, I mean, I think him out there, he looked, he made Mike McCarthy look like Coach of the Year as far as preparation goes. And I can't imagine for someone like Peyton, as we saw, he just must have been losing his mind the entire time. Just can't believe the lack of preparation, just the frustration. Just he's not even involved in the game. He's just watching the game, and you can just see how angry he gets at teams just not being prepared and not understanding what they're doing. You can just see the frustration through his eyes and even his words. It's just funny watching that.
And some people on my TV show this morning got mad about Russell Wilson sort of defending the coach. I don't know. This is what Russell Wilson says.
I believe in Coach Hackett. I believe in what we're doing, and believe in everything. And, any time you can try to find a way to make a play on 4th and 5, that's great too. But also, I don't think it was the wrong decision. You know, I think he can make it. Obviously, in hindsight, you know, we didn't make it. But if we were in that situation again, I wouldn't doubt whatever he decided.
See, I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, now, what, is he going to crush him after the first
game? That's what I mean.
That'd be insane.
What he should do is he should be in the office this morning with the coach right after they fly back. And he should say, okay, next time, this is what we need to do. Those are concerns that should be voiced privately, not in a press conference. We continue in 15 seconds. This is Greeny reminding you that Disney Plus is back in action. The exciting new premieres, Disney's Pinocchio, Pixar's Cars on the Road, Marvel's Thor, Love and Thunder, Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi, A Jedi's Return. We got new episodes and specials like Marvel's She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, Dancing with the Stars, the pros' most memorable dances. This month only, you can get a month of Disney Plus for just $1.99. That offer is available until September 19th, then it's $7.99 a month. All that and more streaming now. Disney Plus, get on board. Okay, two things. Hembo desperately needs to come back to work, and I'm going to explain why in just a moment. But first, you just made an interesting point as the rest of the country joins us here, Bubba, about Mike McCarthy and the way Nathaniel Hackett coached that game last night. Now, McCarthy has been a head coach for, 15 years? How long was he in Green Bay? I don't even remember. He was in Green Bay for more than a decade. And he's been the coach at the Cowboys, this is year three? Four? Three. So, I mean, he's got a ton of experience, and Nathaniel Hackett has none. But Graziano said it well on the TV show this morning, Bubs. If Mike McCarthy coached that game last night exactly the way Hackett did, we would start canceling primetime programming on ESPN to just set up a series of primetime specials. And Stephen A. Smith would be laughing so hard he'd be unable to come to work. That's what it looked like. And because he's Nathaniel Hackett and he's the coach of the Broncos, it will not get the attention that it gets when Mike McCarthy, who was the coach of the Cowboys, does it. But it was that bad, if not worse.
Oh, yeah. It's like we always talk about, coaching or playing in New York, and it's the same thing. If you're in the Cowboys, it's just going to be amplified, and it does not help when McCarthy continues to make these mistakes. It is just talked about on TV, radio, nonstop, and he keeps doing it. And, yeah, I 100% agree. If that was McCarthy last night, we'd have to extend Greeny for 3 more hours and just keep going, because it would just be unbelievable nonstop. And I don't know if he'd make it out after 2 more weeks if we keep doing that.
I think it's a really good point. By the way, they had 12 penalties last night, too. So just an absolutely terrible start all the way around. And maybe they'll get everything together again. But, a couple of people made the point, and it's an obvious one, but it's worth reminding everybody. This is a division in which, every game is critical. No one is running away and hiding. Kansas City is excellent. The Chargers are excellent. I believe the Raiders are really good. The Raiders lost a tough game on Sunday, but that's a game at the Chargers. That's one that if before the season starts, you put an L next to it, you say, okay, that makes sense. At Seattle, that's a game you put a W next to. So losing that game could easily wind up costing them a lot if they're going to have a season, you know, that is memorable, if they're going to have a chance to do something towards the end. So that's a really bad start. In the meantime, I will point out Hembo desperately needs to come back to work. Are you ready for this? Our beloved Hembo.
This is why people shake nerds.
Who is home now babysitting, or not babysitting, that's exactly the wrong word. That is not at all what I meant to say. Taking care of the babies at home. He's got the two twins. He's got Michelle, the one named after me, and the other one. And that is so he's doing that. But obviously, he desperately needs to work because he also just tweeted in the last 15 minutes. I swear on my life I'm reading this verbatim. In 1948, Stan Musial led the National League in runs and hits and doubles and triples and RBI and total bases and extra base hits and times on base and batting average and on-base percentage and slugging percentage and runs created and OPS and OPS plus and WAR and offensive WAR and WPA. With what? No other context. There's no reason we're talking about that today. There is no, in case you're wondering, oh, did Stan Musial die? Yeah, long time ago. There is no context. There is no reason he tweeted that except he felt like it. And when he comes back, I need to ask him, why did he feel the need to include all the ands? Now, first and foremost, why he felt the need to share this information today, I don't know. But that's Hembo for you.
This is why people shake nerds.
But he could have easily said he led the NL in runs, hits, doubles, triples, RBI, blah, blah, blah. He chose to insert the word and in between every one of them. And so it took this tweet, Bubba, from a place where it began, which was merely boring, to the place where it winds up, which is annoying as heck, right? Like, it is excruciatingly annoying to read. So do you share my belief that Hembo desperately needs to come back to work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I heard you just read it and read it out loud, and now I'm looking at it on Nuno's screen, and it is painful.
Read it. Read it. Go ahead. Read it verbatim. Just read the whole thing.
I mean, it is.
Read it. Read it out loud.
In 1948, Stan Musial led the NL in runs and hits and doubles and triples and RBI and total bases and extra base hits and times on base and batting average and on-base percentage and slugging percentage and runs created and OPS and OPS plus and WAR and offensive WAR and WPA.
That's the tweet. He wrote all of that. And there are so many questions I have. In addition to why the ands, the big question is, why are you telling me
why
this?
Why the tweet?
Like, if someone walked up to you in the street and just said that. Oh, let me ask you this question. Okay, Bubba, you're not a man. I need a married man. Bubba, you have a girlfriend. Let's live in an alternative universe where you are in a serious relationship. And now you're meeting the friends of the woman that you're dating, right? You and this woman, let's call her, I don't know, Susan. Right. So you and Susan are at dinner, and Susan's got like a best friend from college and her husband. And the four of you, and trust me, you're going to spend about a year of your life doing that dinner 100 times when you get into a serious relationship.
Sure.
So now you're sitting with this guy. Let's call him Phil. So you're sitting with Susan and Phil. And you're just having a conversation. Oh, I'll have a beer. I'll have a wine. I'll have a this. I'll have the steak. I'll have the salmon, whatever you're having. And then Phil turns to you and says, you know, Brendan, in case you didn't know, in 1948, Stan Musial led the NL in runs and hits and doubles and triples and RBI and total bases and extra base hits and times on base and batting average and on base percentage and slugging percentage and runs created and OPS and OPS plus and WAR and offensive WAR and WPA, and then sat back and took a sip of his beer. You would have to call off the wedding. You would literally have to cease dating the person if you're going to be forced to be around this person any further. Am I or am I not right?
Bubba just actually left the room.
Left the room.
Because that's exactly what he
Correct.
Would do.
You would have to get up and leave. You'd be like, listen, Susan, I'm sorry. It's just not going to work. if you're going to be friends with Phil, if my life with you is going to involve a friendship with Phil and he's going to say that, then I can't live like this. Who can live like that? Yeah, it's just, again,
this is why people shake nerds.
You would have to shake Phil and then leave. And I want to make it clear that it is not the position of this program that nerds should be shaken. Please don't shake anyone. But figuratively speaking, you must shake that nerd and you must depart and you must never come back again. And thus, Hembo needs to be spoken to in a serious way. And we will take care of that when he makes his return from taking care of little Michelle and the other one. You can be a part of Greeny Nation. Call us when you don't call right now because we're not going to have time for the calls. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. Okay, the next thing that I wanted to get to today, I really would like a little help with this. So I do more than just Twitter polls on my Twitter page. Yesterday I asked a question. So I'm watching the pregame show for our game last night, Monday Night Countdown. And I'm watching when Russell came out and he's being, you know, he's hugging people and he's taking in the moment. And the fans are booing like crazy, like they are laying in wait. And then when the team actually takes the field, the booing was deafening. And they booed him when he came out for the coin toss. They booed the hell out of Russell Wilson last night. And so I tweeted the following question innocently. And I mean, I really wanted it. I wrote, honest question. If you are a Seahawks fan, why are you booing Russell Wilson? I'm genuinely curious why the Seattle fans are so mad at him. This got a lot of response. And some of them are pretty simple. Like Chris Canty wrote, you never want to see your ex doing better with the next, especially when they broke things off with you. Well, yes and no. Which is to say, I'm rooting for my team during the game, but I'm not booing him as he runs out onto the field. They didn't boo Tom Brady when he ran out onto the field in Foxborough, and if they had, I would have lost my mind. Now, once the game started, and I know that a few people did, and those people, as I said at the time, should have their tickets taken away. I know Russell Wilson is not Tom Brady. He didn't have the career in Seattle that Brady had in New England. But hold on 1 minute while I count up all the Super Bowls that the Seahawks won before they got Russell Wilson. Didn't take me very long. Never happened. They made one, they didn't win it. I'm old enough to remember when the Seahawks were an expansion franchise. They came into the NFL in the late 70s. They were actually in the NFC, and Tampa Bay was in the AFC, and then they swapped them. I don't really remember why, but they swapped them. And I remember because I had a lunchbox. I was 9 years old, I think, 8, 9 years old. I had a lunchbox that had all the helmets of every team in the NFL on it. And one side had the AFC teams and the other side had the NFC teams. And then I became upset because my lunchbox was now incorrect. My lunchbox had Tampa on the wrong side and Seattle on the wrong side. But I digress. The point of it is, Seattle has, for the most part, not been very good without Russell Wilson. And they were, for the most part, very good with Russell Wilson. And he was a team guy, said all the right things, did all the right things. I get it. Wanted out, had issues with the coach, had issues with the way the organization ran. I'm not suggesting that you have to sit there and cheer like crazy and all that, but to boo him that soundly, it was like when T.O. came back to Philly. It was like when LeBron went back to Cleveland the first time. Like this was a visceral, vociferous booing for a guy who I'm just confused that they felt that angry at him. And again, that's a great fan base. You don't need me to tell you that. They started a freaking earthquake once. That's how loud they are and how good they are. The 12s are as good as anybody in the entire sport, in the entire sports world. So that's why I'm asking the question, honestly, like, why exactly are you so mad at him? Nuno, what do you think?
So I wouldn't have booed him if I was in that situation. But let me play slightly devil's advocate here.
Sure.
He is also the reason they didn't win a second one, right? Like
the interception, you mean?
Well, not only the interception, right? But what was the whole thinking, right? It's you don't hand it off to Marshawn because Pete Carroll wants to make you the hero, so you end up losing the game. That, like, hey, like, you've left us. for someone else. And by the way, we could have and should have won more, but because of you in that moment, we didn't. So it like all comes down like that. I mean, probably is the only justification I can see. But because you don't boo someone like Russell Wilson, who has been your franchise for years upon years upon years.
Yeah, look, Darrell Revis is the closest thing I can give you as a comparable. When Darrell Revis won the Super Bowl as a Patriot, I was happy for him. When he came back to play the Jets, I wasn't at the game, but I would have cheered him loudly because he was a great player. He's the best player that they've had in my lifetime. And I thank him for everything he did. The Jets made two AFC championship games overwhelmingly because we had him. So you got, how about a little debt of gratitude? How about a little thanks for the memories? How about a little thanks for what you did? So again, I'm just confused. Like, I didn't think that was as acrimonious a parting as it obviously was, because not all departures are the same. I know it's not the same as the circumstances under which Peyton left Indy, but I mean, they cheered him from kickoff to the end. I know it's different. Remind me what happened when Favre went back to Green Bay. Now, he was playing as a Viking. It was a year removed from, because he had played that year with the Jets. Remind me what happened. Did they boo Favre like crazy in Green Bay? I don't think they did. It's a Sunday night game, Nuno. Am I remembering that right? I'm trying to remember what the vibe was at Lambeau. How did they handle Brett when he came back the first time? I'm struggling to remember. Do you remember?
I'm looking at an article from that November 1st, 2009. It says Packers fans welcome Favre with boos.
With boos. Again, now Favre, he worked his way out of there. He kept threatening to retire. There was a lot more than meets the eye to that.
Because looking in and reading the article, there were shirts. Calling him everything from a traitor to Judas. Fans carrying a true legend. Legends don't wear purple. You know, they started. Someone hung a welcome back to Lambeau Field Brent sign. There was a plane that trailed Lambeau Field retire for good hours before the game. So it was very acrimonious.
Yeah, he's a Viking. I mean, that's the arch rival. It's different, but again, I wouldn't have done that. Like, I don't know. Say what you will about me, I would have cheered that guy before the game. I you know, once the game is on, that's fine. We're trying to win. That's all good. But before the game, I would have given him a thanks for the memory standing ovation. So anyway, I just found that interesting. And I threw that question up there yesterday and I got a ton of response and I found it all really interesting. Speaking of Twitter, one last look here as the Twitter poll voting has closed. And we got a lot of votes. We had almost 23,000 votes today and it winds up a tie. Like, I can't break this tie. I don't know how to get any more specific than this. But I asked the question, if you're starting an NFL franchise tomorrow, who is your overall number one pick? Josh Allen got 41% of the vote. Patrick Mahomes got 41% of the vote. Now, they made Josh Allen a different color. They made it blue. So maybe that suggests to me he got slightly more. Is that right, Bubba? With that, I don't know these Twitter polls. Justin Herbert is way behind. They put Allen on top, and they his name is a different color. I think Allen won. I think by less than one percentage point, Josh Allen won the Twitter poll today. He is the player that the majority of people, the most people, would start a franchise with. But it's a great question. We'll do another one tomorrow. We'll have some fun. Thanks very much for being along for the ride. I will see you back in Better Than Ever, same place, same time tomorrow. My name is Greeny, and you're listening to ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.